This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online Show. Happy 4th of July weekend. I know a lot of people taking some time off, celebrating the holiday Monday, but a lot of long extended weekends. Hopefully we're helping you get to where you're going in your car here over this holiday weekend, and everybody has a happy, safe 4th of July. Hard to believe we are less than 60 days away now from kickoff for Nebraska and Dublin, Ireland against Northwestern. We are less than a month away from the start of fall camp in August. Where did summer go? But some big news to get to off the field for Nebraska. First and foremost, Nuri Nwelle over the weekend announced that he failed an NCAA test and he is ruled ineligible now for the entire season. And he didn't get into the specifics of what he failed the test for, but it's a pretty cut and dry rule. If you fail one of these tests that the NCAA randomly can administer, you're out for the year. I mean, there is an appeal process involved. Young man's made an accident, a mistake, and it backfired on, you know, it's a tough situation, but there is no wiggle room with something like this. I was told it's the first time in about 2.5 years the NCAA has conducted random testing like this because of COVID and other factors. So kind of came up and was a bad situation. Now, I think it was known, though, for a few months in the program, became public last weekend. Leave some big questions now with this Husker offensive line in what direction they decide to go. I think Turner Corcoran's the wild card. Do you want him at right tackle or left guard or even center? Right now, it wouldn't surprise me if he is the left guard. We'll see where that goes. A lot depends on Bryce Benhart, if he's good enough to be the right tackle and can lock that down. And then, you know, the other conversation would be guys like Ethan Piper and Kevin Williams and Henry Latosky and Brock Bando, what they want to do with those guard positions. Today, Trent Hickson's the center. Your right guard would be Brock Bando. Latosky's battling there. I think we can all agree that Teddy Prochazka is the left tackle. So there are some decisions that will have to be made with how they retool this offensive line and what they do, I think, really with Turner Corcoran. That's the big discussion. Now, in recruiting, Nebraska picked up another commitment, this time from Maverick Noonan of Elkhorn South. Not a real big surprise here, Husker legacy. And we're going to hear from Maverick later in the show. He joins me in the next segment talking more about his commitment. Visited Stanford, came back from Palo Alto, let the Husker staff know, officially announced his decision this past Friday. So Maverick Noonan in the boat. He is the fifth in-state recruit to commit to the Huskers. Altogether, Nebraska's made 8 offers. They've missed out on a couple of guys in-state-wise, but we'll see kind of where this goes. Malachi Coleman is the only one left. They have not offered, or that they have not landed yet. I guess technically they didn't offer Zane Flores. He's going to Oklahoma State. And then the kid from Fremont Bergen, Cade McIntyre, is going to Oklahoma. Benny Nagoy technically has a Nebraska offer, but it's not a non-committable offer. They kind of didn't really recruit him after the offer. So they've had a very good year in statewide. I think if they can get Malachi Coleman with Maverick Noonan, and you'll hear from Maverick talking about that, I think they're pretty confident about getting Malachi. So we'll see where that goes. Keep your eyes now on linebacker Dylan Rogers out of Texas and then Georgia wide receiver Barry Jackson. I think those are the other two guys that could commit, or have, Nebraska's got a great chance to lock up. We are now into the dead period for Nebraska and everywhere in college football. What that means is schools can no longer host prospects on campus. The official slash unofficial visits are done until the final week of July. Then there's one more week in there where you can bring visitors on campus. You know, you might see a couple more kids come in, but a lot of guys will be rolling into practice. Nebraska will be in the fall camp at that point. But they're in a good position. I mean, I think Nebraska can be close to 15 commits by the time the season starts. And that's a really good spot to be in because of the numbers and where they're at. Obviously, there's a couple needs they still want to address in this class, but I think they're in a very good spot, especially if they could get Malachi Coleman, Dylan Rogers, Barry Jackson. That would put them right at 14, and there's some other names that could emerge there that were on campus as well. Once again, you're listening here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan here, bringing you home on this July 4th weekend. It's also the one-year anniversary of name, image, likeness, NIL. The game of college football has changed unlike ever before with this rule. And, you know, I think we anticipated it would. I think it's changed even more than we realized. And it's funny when you think about a year ago how NIL launched. I think for about a month, it was what we thought it would be. It was players doing fun podcasts, you know, guys doing tweets that were sponsored, you know, really, really simple grassroots organic NIL. But as we know, NIL has become much more sophisticated, you know, in a lot of ways, a pay-for-play model across the board. I know it's not supposed to be, but I think we can all agree that's what it's become. I mean, you hear stories of $8 million packages being put out there for top-level quarterbacks, you know, by different collectives and things like that. So it has really changed the game, and it's not going away. I just don't know how it can at this point because of the different state laws involved. I mean, it would take Congress or Senate to get involved and pass something to change things going forward. And I just don't know if that's going to happen. So NIL is here. It's here to stay. Nebraska has done a very good job, though, over this year. I think they've really built a good infrastructure. It's played a big factor. I mean, they landed 15 transfers from the transfer portal, and it continues to, I think, impact them in recruiting and how they do things. And they do a very good job. And I read this about Michigan State this past week. Michigan State involves over 100 players in their NIL operation. And Nebraska is pretty much the same way. You know, I've been able to do a lot of NIL interviews this summer over the month of June with every major position group. And those interviews run deep. It's not just this couple top two or three players. It's all the way down to walk-on players at position groups. So I commend Nebraska in the sense of how NIL has been operated here. A lot more guys are getting some opportunities with different NIL moving forward. Moving on now into the show today, we are going to hear from, as I mentioned, Maverick Noonan, Nebraska's latest commitment from Elkhorn South, son of Husker great Danny Noonan. Then I'm going to hear from a couple of true freshman players on the Husker team. Richard Torres will join me, the quarterback out of San Antonio, and then A.J. Allen, the running back out of Louisiana. Both players will join me as guests in studio. Great interviews. Great to hear from all of them. You'll hear from Richard coming off his knee injury last year. A.J. Allen as one of the late additions that Brian Applewhite brought in. And obviously Maverick will share his story, why he picked Nebraska and what's next for him going forward. And then I will close the show. I'll take your questions in the mailbag. That's all next here on this 4th of July holiday weekend edition of the Husker Online Show. Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
This is HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan here, taking you home on this 4th of July holiday weekend. As I said, we got a jam-packed show. Later on, I'll be joined by quarterback Richard Torres on the program, among others. But told you off the top, it's busy for Nebraska in terms of new recruits, new commits. They picked up a pretty big one this past weekend on Friday from Elkhorn South's Maverick Noonan, Husker legacy. Maverick, first of all, congratulations. I'm sure it's a relief to just be at this point now with your recruiting process.
Oh yeah, well yeah, it's a relief. I just get to focus more on my football team here at Elkhorn South and making it down to Lincoln. But yeah, it's been a great recruiting process. I'm just glad it's all over.
When you look at it, I mean, obviously there are several reasons why you probably picked Nebraska. But thinking about it now, what was the moment in the process where you're like, yep, I'm going to go to Nebraska, but obviously I want to just cross off a few more T's and dot a few more I's before I make that decision official?
Yeah, so to be honest, Nebraska is pretty much in the lead. They're the first team that offered me, so, I mean, they're pretty much in the lead the whole time, but, I mean, I just wanted to confirm that in my mind. The only way I felt like I could do that was going on these official visits and really just looking around, comparing the schools, and I felt Nebraska was the best for me, had the best football, best fans, and a bunch of other things. So, I mean, that's why I picked him in the end.
Well, growing
up, I got done with my official visit, I felt like it was time to commit.
Yeah, growing up as the son of a Husker legend, Danny Noonan, how much did you guys talk about Nebraska growing up as a kid? I mean, or was it something that, you know what, you guys didn't talk? I'm curious, like, just growing up, what was life like for you being the son of a well-known Husker?
I mean, it wasn't too much different. I mean, he didn't really have any influence on my decision at all. He kind of helped me work through it. But, I mean, he's a great dad, so. But, yeah, like I said, it didn't really have any influence my decision.
Can you take him in a weight room yet, or has he still got a pretty big edge in that department?
We're pretty close. I mean, I've definitely got him in the lower body, but yeah, we're pretty close. We work out together in the off season, so
I'm gonna wait.
Yeah, but he still goes hard too. So
I'm gonna wager to guess. Give it about one full year at Nebraska, and you might have a lead in that department.
Right, he's getting too old too. So
he would probably fire back though when you're in your 50s.
I know.
Look at him compared to other 50-year-old dads. So he's, he's doing something right.
Yep,
but. You know, talking back with Nebraska, Mike Dawson, too, I know he developed a great relationship with you over the process. Speak on Mike Dawson and just what he meant in the big picture of your recruiting process.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten to know him over the past, you know, year or so. But I think he's a really good coach, really knowledgeable. I feel like he'd be able to develop me, get me ready for the next level. And I mean, that was one of the reasons I committed. I thought the coaches were great. Coach Shenander's great. Coach Frost. So I really just loved all those coaches too. So.
And you'll graduate early. So I'm sure that was a big part for you to get your decision done now. I mean, how important was it to kind of wrap this process off so you can focus on your senior season?
I mean, yeah, it's just nice to get it done and over with. So, you know, I can focus on summer lifting. I can get a routine going for that, and just focus on the next school year and get it done with Upcorn South. So it's just good to have it over with.
How Nebraska, talk about how they want to use you. I mean, what was the description of how they want to utilize you on the field?
I'd probably say the easiest description is just playing that Garrett Nelson type player, setting the edge and getting after the quarterback is really what they want me to do down there.
We're talking here with 2023 Nebraska recruit Maverick Noonan, son of former Husker Danny Noonan, Elkhorn South product, edge rusher. Maverick is the fifth in-state recruit to join the Huskers recruiting class. And, you know, that group of you guys, it seems like a lot of you guys have gotten to know each other. How much have you talked to the other in-state guys and other members of the recruiting class since you've committed?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked with a lot of guys like Gunner, Malachi, well, not yet, but, you know, he will commit soon, hopefully. Like Brock, I got to know those guys, and we did team camp down in Nebraska a couple of weeks ago. Got to know Sam better, went against him a few times, but I mean, they're all great guys. It'll be fun playing with them for the next years.
So are you guys working on Malachi Coleman? I mean, between you and Gunner?
We're trying, yeah.
What's it going to take? I mean, obviously, it feels like Nebraska wants him the most of anybody on him right now. But you know, he's pretty adamant on waiting till December. So I'm sure it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come around though. I'm sure he will.
Let's talk about Elkhorn South this year. What are you thinking for your team? I mean, you guys have been so close the last 2 years. It's going to be a really really tough year again though in Class A. I believe you guys beat Gretna last year in a regular season game, so you've beaten the best. You've been to a championship game. What's it going to take to get Elkhorn South over the hump in 2022?
I mean, yeah, we're just we got a lot of great players coming back. Guys like Noah Bustard, Cole Ballard, Carson Rahner is going to be a quarterback. He's going to be great next year. Ashton Murphy, Henry. So, I mean, I think our defense will be great next year, along with our offense. But, just getting over that hump is what we have to do, and we'll get that. We've been working hard in the offseason, so I'm pretty confident for next year for sure.
Out of curiosity, can you play any offense, or will you just strictly focus on defense?
No, so I just like last year, I'll start both ways. I play right tackle. And so, yeah, just to help out the team some more. But
I figured you'd be asking for that tight end jersey to try to get a few balls thrown your way.
Yeah, it's true. Henry's took that away from me, so.
Yeah, Teddy Prochazka, he got to play some tight end snaps, but he's quickly grown back into that left tackle spot. But do you talk to Teddy much too with the Elkhorn South connection?
Yeah, he was my host on my OB, so I got to talk to him then.
You got to ask Elliot Brown, your other former teammate, if he's going to let you be in one of his TikToks.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just giving you a hard time because those TikToks are something else. I don't envision Maverick Noonan being involved in an Elliot Brown TikTok dance video.
Yeah, I'm not too much of a TikToker. So,
are you not much of, like, social media wise? Do you get on that stuff? Or, I mean, you had to kind of use it for recruiting, I'm sure, to communicate. But is that something, now that recruiting's done, you'll just kind of casually look at social media instead of having to look at it every day?
I still look at it, but I'm probably not going to be posting every day. Or, like, Instagram, I'll post, like, once every, 4 months or something. Some really random times. But, I mean, I don't really care too much about social media, especially posting.
It's all about winning a championship now. I mean, and when you talk about developing your body, how big does Nebraska think you're going to get as a player? Like, what's their ideal weight for you 2-3 years into the program?
They really haven't gave me a set number. I'm sure they'll be able to develop my body. I know Coach Duvall does a great job, especially with the nutrition guys and stuff. So I'm not too worried about that, but.
Well, good. Well, any fun 4th of July plans? You a big fireworks guy this weekend, Maverick? Or what's the Noonan plan doing on the 4th?
Some fireworks, of course. A few other things, but I don't really know. Definitely some fireworks, though, I'm sure.
Well, hey, Maverick, congratulations on your commitment. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend celebrating with family. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of hugs and time with your family to celebrate the commitment from this past week.
Yep.
All right. Well, much more to come. We'll hear from quarterback Richard Torres next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan here. As I told you off the top, we're going to be joined here in studio by freshman Nebraska quarterback Richie Torres. Is it Richie or Richard? What do you prefer?
Richard Torres is fine.
So, you're kind of one of the unknown guys in this quarterback room just because of the spring and coming off injury. You did go through spring in a limited capability, but Richie, where are you at kind of in the big picture, just coming off of injury and coming out of the spring?
I feel I'm actually 100% now. I feel a lot better than when I got here. When I first got here, I was like, I want to say like 75%, but then as training camps went on and workouts and everything, I just feel myself getting stronger every time. So I think I'm up there. I just got to compete for it and learn the playbook and I'll be all right.
And you know, you came here under a different quarterback's coach, and you've had to learn a new system, a new quarterback's coach.
Right.
When you talk about just the adjustment, you know, kind of adapting to a different coach in a different room and a different system, what have been maybe some of the challenges of that for you?
Well, the thing was, I wasn't here when Verdu was here, obviously, and so my connection with him wasn't very, very deep because it was literally just over the phone type of thing.
Because of COVID, too.
Right, yeah, and it was not too much in person with him. So when he left, I'm not saying it wasn't emotional for me, but I would say it was just a little
challenging. It's business.
Yeah, it's just business, exactly. Like, college football is a business.
We're talking here with true freshman Nebraska quarterback Richard Torres, San Antonio native. San Antonio, by the way, another quarterback from there, Tommy Armstrong from Cibolo. It's Cibolo, right?
Cibolo.
Yeah. I think I would have that right. I covered him for his career. But Tommy is a coordinator here at Lincoln North Star now, coaching high school ball. I saw you talking to Tommy, I believe, at the Friday Night Lights camp.
Right.
How close are you to Tommy Armstrong?
Tommy, man, me and him are real close now. I want to say just about last week, we've been just hitting it off, me and him. And then we have a close friend. We have a mutual friend, so that's how we really met. And ever since last year when Nebraska first offered me, that's when we first have been talking. And then ever since then, it's just been, you know, cool. But, you know, we've been hitting it off. I put in work with him on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it's really good. Our connection's good. He understands me. I understand him. He's real cool.
You go over to the high school with him, or where do you work out with Tommy at?
Yeah, we go to the high school. We train with some of his quarterbacks that come in, and then some of his players, you know, from the high school team. And then I'll bring Victor Jones out there with me. He's my roommate, so we go work out too.
So what does Tommy, I mean, when you talk about things he helps you with, where does he help you the most as far as, you know, when you go work out with him?
I would say just the fundamentals of a quarterback as far as that. Like, so as growing up, I wasn't really taught under like a quarterback's coach. I kind of just winged it my whole life.
You didn't have a guru?
No, I did not. I did not have a paid trainer. I didn't have none of that. I just was just off the top of my what I knew and what I knew best, and I just worked at that. And so he kind of just helps me with polishing my craft and all that stuff, all that good stuff.
Well, you've got something though a lot of guys don't have. That's arm talent. I mean, you can have all the gurus and all the coaching, but if you don't have the arm talent, for you, I mean, has the arm talent always been there? Has it always been natural for you to throw, or did that come as you grew older?
As a young age, I was told I had a special arm, and now coming into college and just working through it all, yeah, I think I have a pretty good arm. It makes up for a lot of like a lack of, I would say, like fundamentals, you know, footwork, timing. So as the receiver's breaking out of his route, maybe I won't anticipate it, but I can get it there just as fast.
Talking here with Richie Torres, true freshman Nebraska quarterback. Did you play baseball? I mean, with an arm like that, did you grow up pitching or playing any baseball at all?
Nah, I never played baseball, and I kind of regret not playing.
Were you a basketball guy, though, too, right?
Yeah, it's just straight basketball and football.
I got you. But, I mean, the program you grew up – describe the program you played in, because it wasn't like a nationally known Texas high school program. I mean, did they have a very many Division I guys in your – time there at the school?
No, actually, between the 21 and 22 class, there was three of us that went Division One. We were the last guy to go Division One from our school was probably like 40-50 years ago. So it was,
wow.
Yeah, it was a big thing when us three went pretty big, and especially me going to Power Five.
When you say San Antonio, like, how close to you were you to like the heart of the city?
I was about 20 minutes out. Where I'm from, south side of San Antonio, it's more like its own community. We're San Antonio. We claim to be San Antonio, but it's just more of like we're on our own type of thing. And so, like, we're kind of like the left outs, the forgotten, and, you know, I embraced it.
And just for you, was there a moment when you were a recruit or quarterback that kind of puts you on the map? When you go back to the beginning of your process to get the Division I offers, was there a moment that kind of put you out there?
I would say maybe my sophomore year, when going into my junior year, the spring, I probably put it together a pretty good, like, camps and, you know, all that good stuff, all the good film. And so that really put me on the map, put me on coaches' radars. But it wasn't until after my junior year, the performances out, they saw me on the film, and then 7-on-7s I was doing. So
just some of the throws you were making on film.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because you could throw a football, 70 yards close to it?
Yeah, just about.
I mean, when you stack your arm strength up to the other quarterbacks, I mean, how do you think you stack up to the guys that throw the football on this team right now?
I think I stack up pretty well. I have a really nice release. I have a quick touch, like, nice. It's it gets there, and I would say they have the footwork. They have the footwork there. They have the timing, but I'm working on it, of course.
What, when you talk about going into a room, I'm sure that's different for you now too. Like, I mean, you kind of were the guy for a few years in San Antonio in high school. Now you've got Chuba Purdy, who came from Florida State, Casey Thompson, who came from Texas, Logan Smothers, who started a game at Nebraska last year, Matt Masker, who's been here a really long time. I mean, what's it kind of like being one of the low men on the totem pole when you walk into a quarterback room, and how have you kind of taken that on?
I really try to learn from them. I know they've been here. They've been in the college, you know, world for a while, and so I take everything I can and learn from them. But at the same time, we're competing for a spot, and so I try to just take it all in, really, and just go and make sure to have fun with it, especially because that's football.
What's the best thing you've picked up just watching some of these other guys?
Probably just the way they think about the game. Like I said, I didn't really have a quarterback guru that helped me through high school, so you know, learning from them is just, it's really good.
And now that guru for you is Tommy, right?
Right, exactly.
What now? Tommy started at Nebraska. He's been through the fishbowl, the microscope, the ups and the downs. What does Tommy Armstrong tell you about being a Nebraska quarterback?
I mean, he tells me all the good, of course, but then he mentions the bad. You know, there's always good and bad in everything, and he just says to keep level-headed and stay on top of everything, learn the playbook. These fans are going to be there always for you, but there's going to be times where they're going to be on your ass about it.
Welcome to big-time college football.
Right, exactly.
What, you know, Mark Whipple, too, that's a new name for you, but he comes with such a great background of coaching quarterbacks in football and calling plays. What has really impressed you just learning and watching Mark Whipple?
Just probably the way he thinks. He's just – sometimes when he talks, it's just like, dang, what are you talking about? I get sometimes confused, but – yeah, he really knows his stuff. His offense is phenomenal, and I love it. I just got to get it down, and once I get it down, I think I'll be really good.
How much does he throw? I mean, I think I've seen him pull out, like, some old Tom Brady cut-ups. Do you watch, like, any of those NFL cut-ups that he brought with him to Lincoln?
I don't watch those. I mean, they're on the iPad. You know, they have it issued out to everybody. I'll take peeks at them, but I'm really focused on just the playbook we're learning right now.
What excites you the most about the offense when you look at kind of what they're doing, what's been installed, the players that are here now, big picture, what excites you the most?
What excites me is the players I'm with, you know, like, not saying necessarily the ones and the twos, but more like the people from my class and just a class above, getting the timing down with them, like I said, like with Victor, Dakotas, Janarian, you know, just all those guys. I feel like we could be real special, and so I really try to get some work in with them.
Yeah, speak of that freshman group, because I believe there's only 15 of you. I mean, it's a smaller number of true freshman scholarship guys that have come in because of the transfer portal and junior college guys. But how tight is that group of 15 freshmen right now?
We're pretty tight. We go play basketball outside, just outside the suites, and we'll play basketball, we'll play volleyball, we'll throw the football, we'll do anything, you know. And then we have a group chat, so we'll go put some work in and stuff too.
Who's the best basketball player?
Me.
You are?
Yeah.
What's the most points you've scored in a high school basketball game?
I want to say like 40. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shooter? Are you like a slasher?
I really think I could just do it all. I could shoot, and then when they're playing up, I just take them hard right. I can't go left.
I'll admit that. You just gave up your whole scouting report.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time at Nebraska where the basketball team was short on players, and Brant Banks and then Noah Vedra was now the quarterback of Rutgers. They got called up to play with the Nebraska basketball team.
Oh, wow. I mean, I would take that opportunity.
And they got in the game. They got in really late. They were playing Indiana.
Oh, really?
And, like, Nebraska was down. But the Indiana crowd actually applauded Noah Vedral and Brant Banks because they respected the moment, and Banks got like a behind the back pass, almost scored in a game.
That's awesome.
With his
That's
long awesome. Hair and yeah. mustache, and yeah. they got to keep the gear though. That was the big yeah. positive for those guys. Yeah. But so basketball was your other sport. You're a 3-point shooter?
I could shoot the ball. Yeah.
Wow, you keeping those skills sharp.
Yeah.
Well, what's next now? I mean, you guys have really just a month left of summer workouts. Fall camp will start, you know, the last couple of days in July. Then you go to Dublin, Ireland in late August.
Right.
What's kind of next for Richie Torres?
Really for me is just keep grinding, to be honest with you. Just stay in the weight room when we have the workouts. And then after, get the throws in with the guys, learn the playbook, really. And then just communicate with everybody. Just get everything down, really.
Have you taken on as a quarterback to be kind of a leader? I mean, I heard you calling AJ. AJ's waiting here in the office. You're like, AJ, you were kind of directing him to get up to the office, get him up here. You went down to grab. I mean, do you feel like you've tried to take on some leadership in that freshman group already as a quarterback?
Yeah, I could say that. Yeah, like I like to hang out with them. I like to be real cool with them. Anytime I see them, go dab them up for sure. Yeah, and we just, like I said, anytime we text each other, just go do something, put some work in, anything. We could just hang out, really.
Well, Richard, I'm glad that you've adapted in here into your first year at Nebraska. I know you've been here just for a semester and working your way through your first summer, but it sounds like you're off to a promising start.
Right, thank you, yep.
All right. Well, thank you again to Richard Torres. Much more to come. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
This is HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan here. It was great to hear from quarterback Richard Torres. And pleased to be joined now by another member, another one of the 15 true freshmen on campus for Nebraska. Joined here in studio by freshman running back AJ Allen, Louisiana native, just working his way through his first month in Lincoln, Nebraska. I got to ask you right off the bat, how has the adjustment been just moving to Lincoln from Louisiana and being a college student?
Yeah, so far, I mean, it's, you know, when I first got here, it was kind of a struggle, you know, getting back and forth, you know. But now, you know, I'm adjusted, so, you know, I'm ready to go.
How does Nebraska humidity compare to Louisiana humidity?
It's not even close. I mean, like, I walk around with a hoodie on every day. People like, you're not hot. I mean, it's like, y'all 90 to 100 feel like 80 to me. I mean, you know, back in Louisiana, it's like, it gets like 120. Yeah.
So this humidity doesn't faze you at all?
No, sir, not at all.
What? So give us an idea. What are you doing? Like, what's the schedule like for a true freshman in his first month in Lincoln?
Yeah, I meet a lot with Coach Applewhite, you know, trying to get the plays down, you know. In the morning time, I lift with the offense. So, you know, after that, we go into indoor in the Hawks facility, you know, go over things, you know, that we should work on and stuff like that. I mean, after that, then, like, I meet with Coach Applewhite, then I just go to class every day. So, you know, everything's like a routine now, so I'm adjusted.
We're joined here in studio by freshman Nebraska running back A.J. Allen. You mentioned Coach Brian Applewhite. You were originally committed to him at TCU. He switched and went to Nebraska. Then you kind of followed him a month or two later to Lincoln. Tell us more about Brian Applewhite. Why was he so big for you in this process?
Yeah, you know, me and Coach Applewhite, we both have a great relationship towards one another, you know. When he left TCU and, you know, wasn't nowhere, you know, he'll still call me every day, you know, talk to me, make sure I'm all right and make sure things going good with my family. So, you know, once you have a smile like that in your life, is, you know, you can't beat that. So, yeah, when he got here, he talked to Coach Frost, you know. Coach Frost didn't even know who I was, you know. Then he showed Coach Frost my film and, you know, it went from there. And then I got the offer like maybe the next day he was here. So,
we're joined here by A.J. Applewhite, or I called you A.J. Applewhite, A.J. Allen. And what does Coach Applewhite tell you? Just like what are the things that he really liked about you, where he wanted you to be a part of things here at Nebraska?
Yes, sir. He always said he wanted to coach me. He was saying he gonna coach me. So, you know, I like that what he said. You know, you can't beat that. Like I said, working with him, you know, he preparing me for the next level. So,
what you look at that room, so much competition, so many guys battling. How do you fit in right now and give us an idea how competitive that is day to day?
Well, yes, sir. We all, you know, working hard. We still, you know, talk to one another every day. I mean, we both know it's we all know it's business here. So, you know, we all battling for that spot. So I think it's a, you know, pretty good thing. So we all working towards one another. You know, we still help each other. So I think that's a good thing for me.
What's the biggest thing you need to do to get yourself into that conversation to get those reps in August?
I just gotta, you know, keep doing what I'm doing every day, you know, being on time, everything, doing the little things, you know, the little things, add up. So,
yeah, the details. I mean, you hear that a lot about college, being a college athlete. Everyone's got a lot of guys have the talent, not everybody, a lot of guys have the ability physically and gifted athletically, but it's the little details, like you said. I mean,
yes, sir.
How important is that? Being on time and just being a mentally prepared, you know, guy every day.
You know, people look at the little things you do, you know, they really know you want to be there when you do those little things, so you can't beat that at the end of the day.
We're joined here by running back A.J. Allen. Mickey Joseph, too, has been a big addition, Louisiana native originally as well. Tell me more about Mickey Joseph and kind of what he's been able to do to kind of bring more guys from Louisiana to Nebraska.
You know, coming from Mickey, he from Louisiana, too. So, you know, he bringing in those guys from Louisiana, too. So I like that, you know, he's bringing the Louisiana culture to Nebraska, and that's a big thing right there.
There's a lot of you guys.
Yes,
you got DeColdis, you got Trey Palmer, recent addition Kane Williams, the safety. I'm probably missing a couple more, but how close are the Louisiana guys? Singleton, the safeties from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. How close are you guys?
Yeah, we all talk to each other every day. You know, we saw each other. We didn't know like where we was from. You know, they asked me what Monroe was, but you know, coming with the recruits too. You know, they from Louisiana too, and they'll play a big part of it. They come here too, so.
And I've seen some other Monroe High School kids coming up here recently. Did you play a factor in trying to get a few more kids up here?
Yeah, I'm trying to get the offensive line for my school now. Lance Hurd, yeah.
They were up here for
official
the camps, yeah. So are you working on that?
Yes, sir, I am.
Were you the host?
Yeah, I hosted two, matter of fact. The one from Carr and the cornerback and the guy from my school. So
looking good?
Yes, sir. We're looking real good.
All right, as we continue our conversation with running back A.J. Allen, you know, what else jumps out to you just about being on a college football team, the day-to-day, the talent, when you go through the workouts? I mean, what are some of the other things that really have jumped out to you?
I mean, you know, you have to come here and work every day. I mean, you can't slack. So, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. So I think you have to come here and be at your best every day. So
give me, like, one or two guys that you really watch and model and say, like, I got a lot of respect for this guy at Nebraska, the way they go about it.
Yeah, I really look up to Trevor and Casey. You know, they both role models at the end of the day. You know, they talk to each other every day and let everybody know what it is. So, yeah.
And do they do a lot of throwing with you guys?
Yes, sir.
How do you feel that competition too? I mean, obviously Casey had the leg up out of the spring, but do you sense competition? Do you feel that with that room right now?
Yes, sir. Everybody in each position room battling right now. So I think that's a good thing.
What are these quarterbacks? I mean, when you talk about them as players, I mean, what jumps out the way Chuba and Casey play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they both, you know, I can't compare, you know. I'm not that type. Yeah, I mean, those two, they both great players. So, you know, they battling, you know, to see who was what. I mean, at the end of the day, they both role models. So
for you as a running back, are you an all-purpose guy? I mean, do you anticipate to be battling for return jobs and even – you can catch the ball to the backfield? I mean, describe what you do well.
Yes, sir. I mean, I think I can really do anything at the running back level. Like, you know, for as like, I compare my games to like Reggie Bush, you know, like for as that, like I'm all around type guy. Yeah. Like I like special teams too. So I'll try to get back on kick return, you know, I battle for that position too. I mean,
Nebraska hasn't had a good kick return in a while. I mean, and it seems like there's a lot of you guys that they've brought in that can add to that. I mean, Trey Palmer is one of those guys too. I mean, So are you hoping you get a shot at it in camp? Have they told you you'll get one?
Yes, sir.
We were talking to Richie Torres, too, earlier about playing basketball. You play basketball with Richie and those guys?
Yeah, we go out there on summer nights. We go out there and shoot around. He think he shoot better than me, but no, he don't.
Did you hear what he said? He scored 40 in a high school game. 40. I don't know. I'm going to check the tape on that competition. He said it's job. Give it hard. Were you a basketball? What other sports did you play?
Yes, I kind of ran track some, and then I played basketball. I stopped playing basketball my sophomore year just to focus on football. But mainly I worked out with track, you know, just to get better every day. So
were you just 100 or did you do 200 too?
I just did the 100. I'm not a 200 guy.
You were. Yeah. That's a little bit more than you want to run. Or, as far as weight goes, size wise, strength wise, weight room, what do they tell you? Like, hey, your body's here, but we want you here. Like, what did they tell you about that when you got here?
I mean, they didn't say nothing about gaining weight or nothing like that. I mean, you know, I'm just getting strong upper body. That's all. I mean, that's what they mainly say, just get strong upper body. I mean, for as that, I got the weight, so.
What's been, when you talk about the weight program and going in the weight room with some of the veteran guys, I mean, what's like the most eye-opening thing when you see some of those linemen and other guys in there getting after
it? Yes, sir. I give a shout out to the old linemen. Mainly, they work every day, like hard every day. Like, I see them in the weight room like twice a day. So, that's something I never saw, like, for his linemen, like being in the weight room and doing like outside work. Like, I respect it from the offensive line. Like, they working harder than me, I see. Like, They outside, they in weight room like twice a day, so that's a major part right there.
Have you seen like the dudes put like 8 plates on when they squat? Sir. I mean, like, did you? I mean, like, coming out of the high school ranks, like, you probably never saw anything like that, right?
No, sir.
What was your reaction when they're like, and we're going to get you to this level someday too? I mean, what I mean, how do you get there? What I mean, was that intimidating to kind of see guys getting after it that way in the weight room?
I mean, you know, it's called working hard every day, you know, coming in, you know, you have a job to do. So, I mean, as far as working hard, you know, that's what I like to see. So,
well, AJ, appreciate you taking the time to come up here. I know you're in the middle of your first semester, first month, really, yes, in sir. Lincoln, and I hope you're adapting to life in Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, appreciate AJ Allen joining us here. Much more to come. You're listening to the Husker Online Show.
This is HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And welcome back here to the Husker Online Show. Final segment of the show. Sean Callahan here, as this segment is brought to you by our newest sponsor of the show, Restore Hyper Wellness, located in the Wilderness Hills Shopping Center. They are now open, ready to help you feel your best, and they offer a ton of great services. I've been in there already and tried the whole body cryotherapy. If you have not tried that, it is the ultimate rehab thing. When you get done working out, you just feel so much better. You go into these chambers that are minus 160 degrees Fahrenheit, and you stand in there for about 3 minutes, and you're obviously bundled up. And, you know, you have proper protection on when you get in there. But after you're done, it's an unbelievable feeling. Went through there, did that for the first time a couple of weeks ago. To my knowledge, we're the only place in Lincoln that offers this. There's a lot of athletes that are going to take advantage of this, or just a lot of people that want to feel better. They also have a lot of other things, an infrared sauna, red light therapy, compression paired with our medical services, including an IV drip therapy. I was able to get one of those done as well. And had never had that before. And you just feel so much better with all the different options they offer. So get on in to the Restore Hyper Wellness Clinic located in the Wilderness Hill Shopping Center, right next to Orange Theory, right across from Tanner's. Brand new to Lincoln. And I promise you, you will love everything they have to offer with Restore Hyper Wellness. Well, let's get into the mailbag. Lots of questions this week. Got our first question here from Faux Frost. Wants to know, with Nuri Nwelle out for the year, should we be a bit worried about the O-line? Yes, obviously. I still think in general the offensive line is something to worry about when you look at this football team. We know how important it is for Nebraska moving forward to get things kind of shored up on the O-line. I think the big question is Turner Corcoran. Where do you put him, and what does this line look like where Turner Corcoran's at, whether it's tackle, whether it's guard? Maybe you're in center, but probably left guard or right tackle for Turner Corcoran, and then you go from there. All right, next question is from Colby Honky. Does a 6-7 record keep Frost from being fired? I would say no. I mean, yeah, no. I think he's got to do better than that. I really do. 7 losses would be a disappointment. Look, the Vegas over-under 7.5 right now. So they're saying on a 12-game schedule, Nebraska's either going to win 7 or they're going to win 8. I think they need to be in that area. I really think they need to be about 7 or 8 to really feel good about this year. Remember, Nebraska will be a double-digit favorite in their first 3 games before they play Oklahoma and Lincoln. After their trip to Ireland, they do not go on the road to almost mid-October when they play at Rutgers. So they've got an unbelievable schedule to build momentum. If they can win in Dublin, Ireland, they're going to be at home for a long time afterwards, and there's going to be a lot of excitement, positive momentum, and that is just as important as anything. These players need to feel the support of the fan base, the belief, and that's been gone. When Nebraska loses early in the year like they did to Illinois, that belief is gone. The negativity gets ratcheted up, and they cannot afford to get in that position early in the year this year, especially with the schedule they've been given from the Big Ten. All right, next question from Big Daddy Sports Capper. Are we going to be above 500? Simple yes or no. I'm going to say yes. I think Nebraska wins at least 7. I think 8 can happen. I think if they can win in Ireland, 8's very possible and should happen. So I do believe Nebraska goes to a bowl this year, and I do believe they finish above 500. All right, next question from Grant. Over under, the number of running backs with a greater individual rushing yard total greater than Casey Thompson's total rushing yards. The line is 3.5. Whew. I'll say under. I think you'll get 3 in there for sure. Four is a lot. I just, you know, it depends how the season breaks. But we don't know about Gabe Irvin. We don't know where Jacquez Jant fits into it. I think Ramir Johnson's going to have a role. And I think Anthony Grant's going to really come out of this thing when it's all said and done. Sour Husker has a question. Is this the year Nebraska beats Purdue? As we know, that hasn't happened for Nebraska since 2020. I mean, they lost to them last year. They beat them in 2020 in West Lafayette. I think it's possible. Purdue was down a lot of guys they haven't had. I mean, David Bell, Rondell Moore, George Karloftis. Those were frontline NFL players that are no longer there. Yes, they have Aiden O'Connell, and they have Jeff Brohm. But I do think Nebraska can win that game in West Lafayette. It is not a tough place to play a football game. It is not a daunting atmosphere. If Nebraska is at all competitive record-wise, they will have a lot of fans that make that trip into West Lafayette. It's a very, very easy ticket to get. Next question is from Ben Davis. Said, not really a question, but would love to hear some recruiting stories from the past. Well, that's a broad question, Ben. Man, I'm trying to think where I can go with this one because there's a lot of different angles you could go with everything. But, you know, John Blake, when I think about recruiting early on, just some of the things that he did to kind of get Nebraska players here in that 05 class. And, you know, people can bag on Bill Callahan in that era, but that 05 class delivered two Big 12 players of the year, Zach Taylor and Ndamukong Suh. It delivered a lot of players that laid the foundation for Bo Pelini to have a chance to win three Big 12 championships and three Big 12 championship games eventually down the road. When you kind of look at the players that were brought in, not only in 05, but 06 and 07, those three recruiting classes that Bill Callahan fully recruited. So I look at that little era, but John Blake, when he was here, the impact that he made in recruiting, it's hard to think of very many assistant coaches in one year that brought in Ndamukong Suh, Barry Turner, Philip Dillard, Marlon Lucky, and then even the defensive linemen he brought in that year. Guys like Barry Cryer and Dagan Duro, those were serviceable, solid pickups from the JUCO ranks. So that's one. But, yeah, if you can go more specific, I can definitely go in a better direction there for you. Come back next week with one, and I'll definitely come at it even more specific if you want a story from the past. Next question is from Jonathan Baker. Sean, if you were a football coach, which I'm not, which position group would you be coaching? Or do you think you would purely enjoy coaching the most? Look, I'm not a coach. Follow up to that, by the way, Jonathan says. Or better yet, you're the head coach. Assemble your coaching staff with media members. And what groups are you going to what groups are you making them coach? That sounds fun, huh? Well, we'd be in a lot of trouble if the media was coaching football at Nebraska. But I would never look at myself as a coach because I don't want to act like I'm an X's and O guy. I can evaluate talent. You know, I've been around recruiting and the relationship side of this business for over 20 years. I would see myself more kind of in a behind the scenes operational role. I couldn't imagine myself being a position coach, somebody that specifically coaches a position. I know I took an easy way out there, Jonathan, but I'm not going to go there because even if the media, I don't even know if we could assemble a staff of media members to coach Nebraska because I don't know how many of the media members even played football. I played high school football, but obviously nowhere near the level it takes to be a coach or a player at the level Nebraska's at. Well, that wraps it up here for this week's edition of the Husker Online Show. I hope everybody has a safe, happy 4th of July weekend. Thanks again to Richard Torres, AJ Allen, and Maverick Noonan for joining me here on the show. Also, a reminder, if you want to go out and see a great Husker event, make sure you go out to Tanner's Sports Bar on July 18th. I'm going to be a part of that event. So is 93.7 The Ticket, our Lincoln affiliate. But we're going to have Husker coaches out there, and we're going to have three players as part of it. O'Shawn Mathis, Garrett Nelson, and Trey Palmer. It's going to be a great, great night. They've got a ticket price right now that includes a Wagyu steak, all you can drink from the bar, the entire event, appetizers, everything included. Get out to Tanner's on July 18th. We've got the information on all of our social media pages and also on Tanner's to get tickets for that event.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.